This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. The epistle reading is Romans 6:19-23, in which St. Paul offers us additional insight in the dual theme of judgment and salvation that is raised in the Psalm and Old Testament lessons for morning prayer for the seventh Sunday after Trinity, Psalm 18:1-20 and Hosea 14. He has interpreted them in the context of Christian thinking on the issue of eternal life in the kingdom of God. He writes in verses 22-23, "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in the end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gospel reading is Mark 8:1-9, which is St. Mark's abbreviated account of the feeding of the multitudes and the first of only two readings from St. Mark during Trinity season. This account by Mark of the feeding of the 4,000 is more limited in its details concerning the event than was the case with his account of the feeding of 5,000 in Mark 6:32-44. Based on St. Mark's statement that at the end of the incident, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat and traveled to the region of Dalmanutha, which is on the western shore of the sea, the event most likely took place southeast of the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis, which means the now lost 10 cities east of the Sea of Galilee. Both the reading from Hosea and Psalm 18 speak of the merciful nature of God. Mark continues the theme by telling of a compassionate Jesus who recognized that the multitudes who had been following him for 3 days could not get home again without growing weak from the lack of food. St. Mark makes it clear that even the disciples were skeptical that Jesus could provide for so many with so little, 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish, reporting a kind of collective question: how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Christological scholars who look for evidence of Christ in the Old Testament find precedent for that question in Psalm 78, verses 19 and 20. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he give bread also? Seeing the disciples' disbelief, Jesus answered, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied. He then commanded the multitudes to sit on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and, quote, gave thanks. In other words, he prayed to the Father and blessed the bread, just as today's Anglican priest speaks of rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits offered unto us by the same. He then broke the bread into pieces and gave the broken pieces to the disciples to give to the people. He repeated the same miracle, turning the few small fish in verse 7 into enough to feed the multitude. When they were finished distributing the bread and the fish, the disciples collected what was left into what Mark describes as large baskets. The scholars who produced the New King James Study Bible believe that these baskets were of the same type and size as those used to lower St. Peter to safety, recorded in Damascus by St. Luke in Acts 9, verse 25. We know from the continuation of St. Mark's account in verses 11 to 21, which follows the prayer book reading, that a few days later, on the opposite shore of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples had left behind this abundance, taking with them only one loaf of bread. As is often the case with the Sunday reading, the reading itself, 8 verses 1 through 9, gives us the facts, but we have to read farther along in Mark 8 to find the true lesson in the 8th chapter for Trinity 7. And you'll find that answer in Mark 8, verses 17 to 21, which includes one of Jesus' rare references to a miracle which he had performed earlier. The whole exchange is conducted in the traditional Old Testament rabbinical style of questions and answers. Sometimes the questioner also provides the answer. It also contains key words concerning eyes to see and ears to hear, which St. John used himself again and again to teach Christian theology in the book of Revelation. Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 5,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? For more on the spiritual concept of eyes to see and ears to hear, see the entries for discernment, knowledge, and wisdom in the AIC bookstore publication, The Layman's Lexicon, available in paperback and Kindle editions at amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley, and also episode 2 through episode 5 and episode 16 in the online Bible study series on the AIC's YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/C/St. John C, with Saint spelled out. These are also linked from the Bible study page at the AnglicanInternetChurch.net site. The first of two closing prayers fitting concerning today's gospel reading is from the first century Eucharistic liturgy of St. Mark the Apostle, and the second is the Collect for Trinity 7, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian Sacramentary used in the Church of England. The Gelasian Sacramentary was itself inspired by James 1, verse 17. God of light, Father of life, author of grace, framer of the worlds, fountain of knowledge, giver of wisdom, treasure of holiness, teacher of pure prayers, benefactor of the soul, who givest to the weak-hearted who trust in thee those things into which angels desire to look. O sovereign Lord, who hast brought us up from the depths of darkness to light, who hast given us life from death, who hast graciously bestowed upon us freedom from slavery, who hast scattered the darkness of sin within us through the presence of thine only begotten Son, do thou now also, through the visitation of thy all-holy Spirit, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, so that when we partake without fear of condemnation the heavenly and immortal food of thy Son's precious body and blood, we may be sanctified wholly in body, soul, and spirit. Amen. Lord of all power and might, who art the author of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of thy name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of thy great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.